Okay, guys, let's just get real with it. Let's get all HGTV up in here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
What is your favorite HGTV show and why? I mean, we've been real upfront with the fact that we love ourselves some H to the G to the T to the V on the Colleen and Bradley Show. And, you know, maybe there's something that I'm not even watching that I don't even know about.
Did you get that Discovery Plus streaming service yet?
You better believe I did.
So you have access to all the shoes.
Oh, honey, yes.
What's your favorite?
Okay. And by the way, join the conversation, 651-641-1071. I have a confession to make. Mm. I'm obsessed with Hometown.
Not only does she hate George Clooney, but she also loves
Hometown.
What is Hometown again?
That is the one that stars Ben and Erin Napier, and they live in a town in Mississippi called Laurel. And it is sort of a rundown small town. As Erin puts it, it's like a pretty girl who doesn't know she's pretty. And the two of them help people purchase historical homes in the area, and then they redo them.
Oh,
but there's
fun.
Like a little bit of history, a little bit. But the thing about it also is that couple, Erin and Ben Napier, are the cutest couple in the whole wide world. They are very punny. And it just is such a stinking cute show. He's a woodworker. She's an artist. She's got really great vision, and they work together to just make like these awesome homes.
Cool beans.
I'm telling you, it's so good.
So that's your current obsession?
It's my current obsession. I can watch, if it's on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, I'm done for. I'm like, it's a marathon. Even if I've seen it, I don't care.
Yeah, HGTV shows make good marathon material.
Right? 651-641-1071. I can also tell you which ones I hate. But we're not doing that right now.
I was going to say,
I don't know. I'll hear both. I don't care. And Rob, feel free to just butt in when we get a caller or two.
Okay.
Bradley, what's your favorite HGTV show?
I will be honest. I have not been watching a ton of HGTV lately. My partner every night watches House Hunters Renovation. So if I do catch a show, that's probably what it is. But I go through, you know, fits and starts. That one I love because I'm not a huge, like, personality-driven show, because then I usually just get, the reason I love House Hunters Renovation is because every episode is different.
Yeah.
Like, there's no host, and, because I find, to be honest, I find them to be kind of hokey. Like, they create these, like, ideas of who these people are.
Right.
And they just seem a little too cute by half. But I do love the House Hunters Renovation because each episode it's a new couple and you can just judge them like 10 ways to Sunday.
Oh,
it's like
sure.
Low stakes. Like, I would never put that tile in my kitchen. But sometimes you also get ideas. You're like, ooh, I never thought of doing that before.
Right. So it's interesting that you said that about the personalities, because I get a little bit, I feel like there's a happy medium between the personality driven show and the like no hosts whatsoever.
Yeah.
There's a happy medium, and that's why I like Hometown, because they're not taking me to their ultrasound appointments, or you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the one? Oh gosh. Oh, the renovation show with that woman, Christina Tarek, I think is her last, and she was
like California Dreamin' or something.
Yeah, something
I don't
like
know
that.
What it's called. She's had a couple shows, but it's the one where they got divorced. Flip and Flop. Flipper Flop.
Yeah, and then it was like Aunt Anstead and like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. My point is this. Like, when she was pregnant, we were going to her ultrasound appointments.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to her ultrasound appointments.
Yeah.
I want to see what she does to the house. I don't care. And so that's why I love Hometown, is like, there really isn't, you know, you care about the town. You care about the people. You care about the Napiers, the two hosts of the show, because you care about the town and the town history, and you know that they have a history with the town. So it's all there for a purpose. But they're not taking me to doctor's appointments. They're not taking me on their fertility journeys. They're not, you know, they're not introducing me to their family dog. Yeah. I just don't care about that. 651-641-1071. What's your favorite HGTV show? I'm having a hard time believing nobody.
Tanya is on the phone.
Wonderful. Then I would love to talk to Tanya. Thank you. Hello, Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Colleen. Hi, Bradley.
Hey. Okay, what's your favorite HGTV show and why?
Okay. So, and I literally watched a whole season of 16 episodes yesterday of Maine Cabin Masters.
Ooh, what's this show?
I don't know this one.
So, it's Chase and Ashley, who are brother and sister. Ashley's husband, Ryan. They redo cabins in Maine.
Oh, so my
not only
word.
Do you get the fun Maine accent, you get this brother and sister siblings thing happening, and a bunch of guys, and she's the designer, but she's roped in to help. And it's really cool because they repurpose. I call him a hoarder.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so fun, and it's so beautiful to look at all those cabins in Maine. Oh.
Okay, I love this. How many seasons of this are there?
There's five.
Oh, stop it.
I know.
I can't even. Okay, I'm sorry. Now I got a new thing I'm going to be watching.
Maine Cabin Masters.
Yes. Thank you, Tanya, for your recommendation. They even have, like, they have a very robust website. I just would like to commend them on that. And you can see all the renovations there, too. So maybe you can, like, skip the episode altogether and just look at the cabins if you want
to. Befores and afters.
Sure, why not? Do we have any other
calls? Ben is on the phone.
Wonderful. Hello,
Hi, Ben.
Hello.
What's your favorite HGTV show and why?
My favorite HGTV show is actually, they don't have it anymore, but you can watch it on the app, and that's Tiny House Hunters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Any kind of house hunters, right? What do you love about Tiny House Hunters?
Yes. I like it because I like the way they can, like, utilize the space. Like, you'll see a staircase, but, like, each stair is a cubby hole and things like that.
I'm with you. Thank you, by the way, for your call,
Ben.
I'm mildly obsessed with tiny house, anything tiny house. So there's like a whole genre itself.
For sure.
Like the tiny house hunters, and then there's like tiny house renovating ones, and then there's the people. There's this one on Pluto TV. I can't remember the name of this one, but it literally is that it's people who are wanting to go from living in their normal size houses into tiny houses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the project of trying to pare down their stuff to fit into the tiny house.
Which would be hard.
I know. So anyway, I'm with Ben on the tiny houses.
Anyway, say hi to Allison.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Allison.
Allison, what is your favorite HGTV show and why?
Well, I'm with you, Colleen. I'm obsessed with Ben and Aaron and
They're
that
the
whole
cutest.
Show.
Aren't they the cutest?
They're the best. I wanted to let you know, if you didn't, that they published a memoir last year.
Well, darn it. Guess what I'm reading.
It is so good because it gives their, you know, their whole history together, their wedding, their faith. It's just wonderful. I picked it up at Target.
I love it. Allison, thank you for that hot tip.
You're welcome. It's called Make Something Good Today.
Oh, they're so great. Thank you, Allison. Have a good day. They really are just like the sweetest couple.
Yeah.
They're so intentional about having fun and enjoying life. And I do sort of dream, like when I watch that show, I think, how cool is their life? They have a passion for this town that they live in. They have a passion for design and construction. They have a passion for their marriage. And they also live in a place where it doesn't snow very often.
Well, that helps.
And I just think they must have the most fun. When we come back.
I have never seen the show, but I look forward to checking it out. What's it called again?
It's called Hometown. I cannot believe you haven't watched it.
No, I don't.
It's so great.
Like I said, I have not. I have not watched a ton of HGTV lately, but
I want to find you my favorite episode of that show, and I'm going to recommend it to you. Just one episode, and if you like it, yay, and if you don't, I don't care.
And then you'll finish The Crown?
Of course I will. I've been meaning to get around to that. All right, when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, I'd like to go deep in the shallow around what went down yesterday. Around the Tiger Woods car accident.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I I'm interested in the coverage of it, and I want to talk a little bit about it when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
What up?
You know what's up?
Your face.
Well, yes.
But I mean, it'd be weird if it wasn't.
Also, I was thinking when I got home yesterday. Okay, so yesterday we learned. What was that? What? Were you dinging for fun?
No, I had to replace the ding.
Okay, well, I'm glad you got it back. Anyway, when I got home yesterday after we did the show, after I was done with work, I went home and I turned the TV on while I made dinner. That's what I do every day.
Yeah.
And I was. I'm going to say I was surprised when CNN was the first thing that popped onto my TV, because that was the last thing somebody in my house was watching. And they were doing wall-to-wall coverage of the Tiger Woods accident.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I don't know why I find this kind of odd that we're doing this wall-to-wall coverage when there's really not any information to share. So I watched it for a couple minutes because I was like, how are they going to do this? Right. Like, what is there to share? And at the time they didn't know, they had just learned kind of the extent of his injuries. But they didn't then, and nor do we know now exactly what happened to cause the accident. So they were speculating about that. Of course, they were doing what Twitter was doing and unearthing recent videos of him and speculating about, his past addiction issues, etc. And I was like, okay, like, don't get me wrong. I understand Tiger Woods as and his contribution to golf, and as kind of an icon, I understand him. But was it worthy of this wall-to-wall coverage full of speculation? It sort of confused me.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Bradley?
My thoughts. Well, thank you for asking about my thoughts on this very germane topic to the discussion. I totally understand that people become interested in things when there's drama attached. So insofar as he has drama attached to him, people are going to want to know more. And in a situation like this, they're going to jump to conclusions. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with people sort of, wondering if there's drama surrounding the accident, like, you know, based on his past. That's the only thing I can think of. The other thing is, I think it has a lot to do with sports. Like, the reality I've learned in the world is that the world is far more interested in sports figures who've achieved a certain success.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just come to the forefront in terms of the people we pay attention to, and by we, I mean the mainstream, media, so cable news. Also, cable news, I don't know if you know this, always needs something to nitpick.
Yeah.
Because they've got 24 hours of coverage to fill.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. Social media is the same way, right? So there's a lot of people just talking about it.
Well, it is sort of like echo chambery in there,
yeah,
right? Like,
but to your point, we don't know anything. We really don't know anything. I know people want to rush to judgment or make assumptions about what they think might have happened. But I'm like, so here's the thing. This is the thing that I know. At some point, we're going to find out what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, there are some other things we could talk about.
Well,
but that's kind of like, that's not how we operate as a media culture. So,
well, and that's kind of what I was thinking as I'm watching and I'm thinking, okay, I can think of about seven other things that I'd like to be informed about in this exact moment.
Yeah.
And this speculation about Tiger Woods and what caused the accident and will he ever golf again, which I'm like,
I think that tells you a lot about the audience, right? I think there are people who for whom Tiger Woods is golf, so to them that's the thing that they would be concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can decide what you think about what that says, but to me it was an odd thing to focus on. I mean, I kind of feel like he's still in the hospital, so yeah. I'm sure he'll find out at some point if he's able to do his thing.
And then we will all find out at the same time.
And I don't know that, like, and I think it'll probably be a big deal for him, but I'm not sure for the rest of us, except for all the people who love watching him play golf. Right. I think that's what it's really about.
Right. But I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, that I can think of seven other things, and this is not on the list, but apparently this is the sexy, conversation right now.
Well, if you think about any celebrity... I shouldn't say any celebrity, but think about a celebrity who has had attached to them drama surrounding, who's had the past that Tiger Woods has had, who has had the tabloid past that Tiger Woods has had.
Right.
And then something like this happens to them. People are going to run towards that because they, you know, are predisposed to make judgments about what might have happened.
Yeah. I'm
dancing around this because I don't want to, like...
Do
the thing that everybody's doing, because I don't think that's particularly helpful. And if that is the case, we'll find out.
Well, and that's okay. So that's the other thing is like that's the other piece of it is I want to say to, and in my case, it was CNN that I was watching. I know other news outlets were doing the wall-to-wall breaking news coverage, but I'm thinking like if you know the history of Tiger Woods, and you know. When he's been at the top of his career and when things have not been going great in his personal life, you kind of know the trajectory of the story. I don't know that we need to be speculating about that right now. As you said, Bradley, that it will unravel in time.
Yeah, because there isn't a story like this that at some point we don't find out what actually happened.
Right.
So.
And honestly, in that moment, we're not going to find out. So that's the other thing is like, there isn't going to be anything in the first 24 hours that is going to illuminate the answer to the questions that people had.
Well, and even if there was, and I will tell you, I had this experience today when I started to see the stuff come in on Twitter, as we typically, you know, we've had this experience before when something happens. That's a big deal, quote unquote.
Yep.
You rush to Twitter and then you do that whole thing where you're like, well, I don't even know if what I'm looking at is right, because you start to see things and you're like, oh, yeah, this is confirming my bias about, you know, half a dozen things. And then you're like, well, actually, I don't know where this came from. Like this, for example, the vehicle. When I first saw the vehicle, I was like, whoa, and started reacting to what that looked like. And then I was like, but that might not be the vehicle.
Right, because it's just social media.
And it was, but like, again, you just have to be so careful in the, you know, immediate aftermath to not jump to conclusions, right?
Yes, and I do want you to know, as of 2 hours ago, the coverage day two includes Craig Melvin doing a remote from the hospital. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, that's probably not necessary.
Yeah, but when we come back on the Colleen and
Bradley
Show.
But we got more Kardashian opinions.
Yes, thank you. We've got some celebs behaving badly to tell you about after this on My Talk 107.1. Oh, it is gorgeous outside, and this is the Colleen and Bradley Show. It's gorgeous inside, too, on My Talk 107.1.
Oh, you're looking at me. Hi!
Streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer. And we've got some celebs behaving badly to tell you about.
Your face.
Okay, you're rude. We call them...
D-bags!
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who's your D-bag?
Pat Sajak.
What? What?
Did you see this?
1980s calling.
Yep. And I answered. And it was Pat Sajak making fun of a contestant on Wheel of Fortune for having a lisp.
I don't think we do that. No.
Thank you.
What's going on with Pat?
Well, so Pat, you know how they do this. This is like the game show thing. You know, they go down the contestant row and they're like, hey, you know, let's just shoot the you know what with each other and just like get to know each other. And so he's talking to the contestant by the name of Chris Brimble. And Chris Brimble has a lisp. He speaks with a lisp. And he describes what he does for a living, and then Pat Sajak is doing the thing where he's like trying to have small talk, so he says something back.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
So he says like, oh, you know, so a lot of things people believe about that are a myth. And then the guy said yes, and he said, oh, I see.
Wait, the guy said the list?
Okay. Chris Brimble said... Okay.
Myth.
Okay. No.
Oh.
Pat Sajak said, so a lot of things people think about that are a myth. And then Chris Brimble, the contestant, said, well, yeah. Or some version of that.
Yeah.
And then Pat Sajak said, I see.
You guys want to hear it?
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, check this out.
Thank you.
We set technology that benefits older adults living in senior living communities.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing, too, because technology and sometimes people are not open to new
ideas. You'd be surprised how open they are.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. So that's just a myth.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I see. you were married.
Awkward. Oh, so this guy has the lisp?
Yeah, the contestant has a lisp. That audio, it's hard to hear.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
not
it's very
your
subtle.
Best move, Oof. Pat. Ooh.
You know, this is one of those moments where, Pat Sajak thought he was being cute and funny, and it wasn't.
Oh, Pat.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, I also, just like, even if the guy doesn't have, I don't know, I feel like maybe we're not, you know... Maybe we're not doing lisps.
Just like maybe, maybe the easy thing you think that is going to be funny is actually not the funny thing, right? Or maybe you're just not funny, Pat Sajak.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe
that show is still on.
That he's still like every once in a while, I'm like, wow, Pat Sajak was doing this very thing when I was a child.
Okay. Is that more galling than the fact that Vanna White is not only doing the same thing, but she's actually doing less?
Yeah. Like, she's flipping letters. And by the way,
she doesn't even flip them
anymore.
She doesn't
flip them anymore. No, she just touches them.
She doesn't even do that.
She walks up to them.
She walks by them, and they turn themselves.
Must be a nice gig.
Although, I think the best gig.
If I were her, I would probably have to hit my head against a wall occasionally.
Why? Because she works with Pat Sajak?
Well, that, and just like, wouldn't you want something else?
No. No.
Yeah, you would.
What?
You, of all people, would.
No. No, I would get it elsewhere, but I would take their money. I would touch their glowing letters. And
but
I
wouldn't
would
you just, I think I would have long ago, I know myself, long ago, I would have just, in the midst of trying to touch a letter, I would have taken the letter and thrown it at someone and then just tore all the letters down.
But
and
see,
then
I think I would have
crumbled into a pile of my own. You know, destruction.
I think I would think to myself, if I have to touch glowing letters to cash the check, then so be it. And I will make meaning from my life in other places. I just remember.
Yeah, I can't.
In the 80s, watching an interview with Vanna White where she explained that she had to do a different goodbye every day. So some days she would say,
My brain would bye-bye. Have exploded.
And some days she'd say, goodbye. And other days she'd say, bye.
Goodbye?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would have.
But again.
It's why I had to leave, like, the corporate world.
Because you felt like you were turning glowing letters.
Because I literally was showing up and sitting in the same chair. And there were days when I didn't have to do anything. So I would just stare at my computer for hours. And I don't care how much you're going to give me.
That's not...
No.
Can I really quickly just tell you, there's a comedian, I think it's Mike Birbiglia, who does this bit about what Vanna White's job interview must have sounded like. And he literally says, are you familiar with the alphabet?
Yes.
And if something were glowing, would you know what to do?
I also wonder, like, does she... She clearly is doing other things.
Like what?
Like at the, I mean, is it just like she shows up? I mean, there's no pre-show like
no,
today
I'm pretty
on the
sure
show.
She shows up and she puts on a dress and then stands in her spot.
I don't know what that is.
And
I
if
think
a letter,
there's something
she just
wrong.
Touches the glowing letters
that's
and
weird.
Then she cashes the world's largest checks.
I'm sorry, but that's still weird.
And maybe,
you know that dial, they control that thing.
What?
Don't they control that dial?
What?
Determine
you mean
who,
the wheel?
Where it lands?
Yeah. The wheel?
You think
of
it's
fortune?
Really random?
Yes, I think it's random.
Oh.
Oh, so, I didn't even ever consider that somebody was controlling the wheel
me?
Of fortune.
I mean, What are the chances that it's total chance?
I mean, I don't know.
Same with that dumb wheel on the
Price is Right. I never considered this.
The beep boop 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 boop. I'm like, that thing always going to stop just right before the 100.
I think it's weighted funky.
I think that would be highly illegal, Bradley.
I think so too, right?
Have you guys met the world lately? Where have you been?
Wasn't there a big scandal?
Yes.
What was it? One of the pyramids?
Only because they found out.
No, what was the name of that? There's a documentary about it.
You're thinking about the guy who played the system, but he did it from the outside in.
You're saying from the inside.
I'm just saying, you want me to believe that games of chance are really just a chance?
Gosh, you are so jaded.
I mean, have you looked outside?
No.
Every day, what do we talk about? What do we say?
Nothing is real and everyone smokes.
You've been here long enough. What do we say?
Nothing is real and everyone smokes.
Okay. Exactly.
Oh, but The Price is Right. It's totally legit.
Well, I just wanted to hold on to that.
You think that little climber guy just randomly falls off the thing?
Well, I mean, there is skill to that.
Oh, really? Is there?
Well, yeah, the game is like, but Plinko, do you think Plinko is rigged?
Of course it's rigged. It's all, life is rigged. How old were you? We'll do a segment next hour. How old were you when you first realized that life was rigged?
Oh, man. Keeping it positive. All right.
Anyway. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. Don't get me wrong. I still go to casinos. I love.
Do you think those are all slots. Rigged?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. Right. No, they're not. Okay, you know, because in fact, I do know with casinos, they have like they actually have people who come like check the machines.
Yeah, they
can't. I never seen nobody check the wheel.
Okay, well, I don't think we get to. I don't think they do that live in the middle of the show. They don't have like.
They should.
Wheel regulators like in their suits come marching in. Excuse us. We need to check and make sure the wheel.
Well, they
isn't
should.
Rigged.
Wouldn't you feel more confident in the results?
Okay, next.
And when they say that, like, the detergent is $4.79.
Well, that, okay, so here is my question. What store did they check, right? Because I don't know about you, but I price shop, okay? I know.
And also, if you think that the price that you're getting at one store is the same as the other store.
You're wrong.
No, they change them prices.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, do I have a coupon?
Nothing is real. Everyone smokes.
Do I have a coupon? Is it on sale today?
You made me get off on a topic such that I didn't get to do my actual D-bag. How dare you?
Well, you got 2 minutes.
No, I had an opinion. It was my opinion to have, and I'm glad that I had it.
Thank you for sharing it.
But, like, in all honesty, because I don't know, I just always assumed that occasionally the thing would, you know.
It does,
beep,
though.
Boop, boop, beep.
Sometimes it goes to $1. On Price is Right.
Yeah, but doesn't it always seem to go to bankrupt right when like everybody's
now we're on the
like
Wheel of Fortune?
That's what I mean.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's the deal, Bradley. That's life. Is it sometimes everything is going so well and then you end up bankrupt?
Let me ask you this. If somebody discovered that there was really a lot of shenanigans going on, mm-hmm. would you be surprised?
Yes. And I'd be angry.
But based on the fact that we live in this world, you would actually be surprised?
It's really the only thing I believe in still. Okay. Is game shows.
Well, I didn't mean
game
to
shows and God. Okay, that's all I believe in.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
It's like those two things?
Yeah, those are my choices.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
You know what, Bradley? You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to do something for you.
What are you going to do for me?
We got more D-bags coming.
We
so
do.
You can give me
we
all
do.
The D- you tell me. You do whatever you want to do
okay,
next.
Okay, we'll do.
When we come back, and I'm not going to rig it.
And by the way, it's all chance.
It's all chance.
You never
and
know.
I'm not going to rig it after this on My Talk 107.1. Bradley?
Yeah.
I've rigged this segment.
Oh.
So that you can take me on whatever journey you want to take me on. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, who believes in the goodness of humanity, and Bradley really? Trainer, who is skeptical of everything.
Like it's like you haven't even been on our show. So in the last segment, I'll get to the D-bags in just a moment. We'll double down some D-bags. But before we do, I want to give a hat tip to Denise on Twitter, who sent the following tweet. 17 secrets about your favorite reality shows that prove their... that they're something. They're fake, basically. Okay, so it has a bunch about like all your favorite shows, and they're very interesting. But really, the one that I clued in on here was about our discussion regarding the genuosity of Wheel of Fortune. Mm-hmm. Number 10 on this list. Now, this supposes comes from somebody who has insider information. Allegedly, supposedly, quote, this was many years ago, but a friend of ours had a job on Wheel of Fortune. He had to lie underneath the huge wheel the contestants spin. The producers would radio him and tell him which dollar amount or prize to stop on, and he would grab the handles underneath and stop where they wanted it to stop.
No,
so there is somebody in the wheel. There's somebody in the wheel.
That's not real.
How do you know?
I cannot believe that. Come on, because also technology, right? Like, even then we knew how to build a machine that didn't require a human being to lay on their back underneath the wheel and grab the handles.
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you what BuzzFeed has reported.
Also, think that all the way through. Okay, that sucker is going mighty fast.
Are you getting paid by the wheel? Are you a wheel watcher?
I am a wheel watcher every day. I'm not, actually, but I do watch it occasionally. It is really fun.
Is it?
Sure, to like try to solve the puzzles, of course. But think about, like, really think about this. You're laying on your back under the wheel, and the producer's like, stop it on the trip to Hawaii, and you have to, like, that sucker's going like 25 miles per hour.
Yeah, well, you're looking
you're
around.
You're gonna lose a hand.
No. You just grab hold.
Did you have the job?
Huh?
Did you have the job?
Maybe I did.
Are you speaking from experience?
And maybe I didn't.
I just don't believe it.
Well, you don't have to, but
it's
nothing
fine.
Is real
that
and everyone
was funny,
smokes.
And it did make me laugh. Thank you.
Okay, now, Don, I think your name is Rob. Rob, can we debag some double downs?
Let's do it.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
So I was carried away with the lies of television game shows. So I couldn't tell you the exclusive tale of a Hollywood dominatrix.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so a Hollywood dominatrix is talking to Page Six exclusively, and she says to all of us, leave cannibal kink, or actually she's saying to Armie Hammer, leave cannibal kink to pros.
I mean, I don't disagree with her.
Yeah, but then I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here, Page Six. You're going to talk to a dominatrix about kinky things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was, like, reading the stuff that she was saying, and I was like, you guys, what? So, like, what is cannibal kink? Because remember we talked about ethical cannibals?
Yes, we've talked about the ethical cannibals.
Which is, like, people who imagine themselves, like, being in a big pot of stew mm-hmm. and then pretend eating, but not really eating each other. Just, like, putting, like, a apple in your mouth and making you look like a roast.
Mm-hmm. Pig.
Roast. Just a roast.
A roast.
You know, anyway, so then I'm just like, okay, I'll bite. See what I did there?
Cute.
She goes on to say her name is Jenny Nordback. She is an A-list Tinseltown dominatrix.
Okay, she's A-list. Neat.
Well, she's helped A-listers.
Okay.
She's done things.
Okay.
Quote, I'm actually surprised by how shocked everyone is by it, talking about Armie Hammer, mm-hmm. because it's really common and normal. Cannibalism. Okay. If any fetish is normal or fantasy, I would expect any professional dominatrix to have seen it regularly. Cannibalism.
Okay. All right.
She believes such a kink usually boils down to not violence or literally wanting to eat someone, just a kind of radical intimacy and the power to control of someone's being willing to give up a part of themselves to you. So it's not about, like, eating people. The cannibalism is more about just, like, having you inside of you, right? So she goes on, and by the way, she has a book and a podcast, and she talked about how she has personally
helped. Can't wait to not read that or listen to that.
She's personally helped clients explore their cannibal kinkies, and she's seen it played out verbally and or as play acting, and this is where she lost me.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting there?
She's seen it played out either verbally or as play acting. Think of the fabled sushi eaten off a stripper scenario, but with steak tartare.
Okay, so she's like saying, like simulating it by eating some sort of meat that's closer to human flesh.
I don't feel like that, again, she goes on, like, that's not about me wanting to have radical intimacy.
Right.
That's me wanting to eat
steak
people.
Tartar and pretend it's a human being.
Maybe the partner is okay with you talking about it in a really abstract way, but they don't want to hear about which rib you want to eat and what kind of barbecue sauce you want to use on it.
But can I explain something to her that she's missing? The piece that was... Like, I don't really care what people want to say to each other or do to each other in their bedrooms. I don't actually care. What I do care about is that it is consensual between both people.
Oh, for certain.
And that's the piece that she's missing, is that it did not seem as though it was consensual with one of the parties.
Yes, and she does talk about boundaries and all that good stuff. But to me, the whole takeaway from this was like, I don't feel like she really knows what she's talking about. And I don't think she does a lot of cannibal-y things. I think she's just like, I'm a dominatrix with a book and a podcast, and I'm trying to get my 5 minutes from page six in referencing this celebrity-related story. Because I don't feel like there are really a lot of dominatrix out there who are like, let's make human roast tonight. Like, I'm going to get this turducken, and we'll pretend it's you. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. I also know what we've just seen right there is what's called gymnastics, when somebody feels like they need to defend their own position on something, they will turn backflips in order to do so. And somehow she feels like kink is threatened by this story about Armie Hammer. And I don't think kink is what's being threatened. I think it's people who did not consent to the kink who felt threatened.
Yeah, also cannibalism. I still think there's this conversation about cannibalism that people are just sort of assuming is kinky and like, let's not kink shame.
Right.
I am not convinced that cannibalism is just any other kink, as she says, quote, I'm actually surprised by how shocked everyone is by it, meaning that Armie Hammer wants to eat people.
Yeah.
She says, because it's really common, normal. I mean, again, like, I don't think we're talking about kink shaming when we're talking about eating people.
Right, right. In a sexy way or not.
Yeah. Like, I
just generally
think people,
speaking.
Trust, I know people do some really weird, but I just feel like I've never really come across a lot of people like, I don't want to really, like, eat you. I just want to eat you.
I just want to barbecue you and eat you.
No.
But, like, in a sexy way. Like, maybe just steak tartare.
Yeah. Steak tartare.
No.
Anyway.
Now you got 1 minute for a double down. Are we doing that?
We don't need to.
You want
to
go back to talking about how game shows are rigged so we can just ruin everybody's lives?
I can't believe, speaking as a dominatrix, I am shocked at how few people actually understand that the world is rigged. Every television show we talk about, reality show, not real.
That, but
and suddenly you want me to believe that all of the game shows are perfectly above board. There's nothing to see here.
Why would it be any different for television than it is for radio? Because we have very strict rules about this.
Yeah, we have super strict rules about things.
Contests like the FCC.
It's true.
I feel like Rob is...
I'm with Rob. Rob, I'm with you. I believe in the good of humanity and that they will...
please. What did you just spend half the show talking about?
I just want you to know that I reserve the right to be inconsistent.
But you know that game shows have lied to the public before, correct?
Sure. But not Wheel and not Price is Right.
All right. Well, when those stories come out, when that podcast comes out, I'm going to enjoy your shock and horror.
Horror.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, what's your favorite sexy vegetable?
Yeah, sexy veggies. No, what's your favorite vegetable, people?
651-641-1071 after this.